Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. We begin our reading today on the inside of the paper with a story from the Paxton Buckley Lota School District. No bed bugs were found in the school, PBL superintendent says. Earlier, possible bed bug activity was reported in school's teacher's lounge. Paxton. The Paxton Buckley Lota School District's interim superintendent sent a letter to families and staff Thursday night stating that no bed bugs were found in Clara Peterson Elementary School following an inspection and proactive treatment by a professional pest control service. That morning, Principal Barry Wright had sent a separate letter notifying parents and staff of possible bed bug activity in the school's teacher's lounge. I am pleased to report that after an inspection and proactive treatment of the building by certified professional pest control, no bed bugs were found in the school, Interim Superintendent John Kilgore said in Thursday night's notification. The inspection and treatment were done by Terminix, the school district's pest control service provider. Because insects can transfer in boxes, clothing, persons, etc., the entire building was inspected, Kilgore said. Further, no person was ever identified to be a carrier. Kilgore noted that the district followed Illinois Department of Public Health's recommendations in addressing the matter, and Wright's letter was sent to parents and staff only out of an abundance of caution. Typically, such letters only go out after a confirmed identification by a pest control professional, Kilgore said. Because rumors had started, we felt a cautionary letter was merited. Our apologies if this notification created concerns, but we wanted to keep you informed. I hope this message provides some relief in attending school on Friday. Wright's letter was posted by a parent on the Paxton Community Uncensored Facebook page on Thursday morning, but not released to the Ford County Chronicle. This letter is to inform you of possible bed bug activity in the teacher's lounge at Clara Peterson Elementary School, Wright said in the notification. We understand that this news may be concerning, and we want to assure you that immediate steps were taken to address the situation. We immediately contacted our professional pest control provider, Terminix. Terminix personnel were on site immediately to conduct a thorough inspection of the teacher's lounge. We will follow all recommended protocols, including any necessary follow-up inspections and treatments, to ensure the issue is completely resolved. Since this activity was isolated to a staff-only area, the risk to students is considered extremely low. We are committed to maintaining a clean and healthy environment. The safety and well-being of our students and staff remain our highest priority. We encourage you to speak with your child about the importance of not sharing belongings, such as backpacks or coats, and keeping their personal items in their designated areas. Although the risk is minimal, it is always a good time for a general awareness check. Bed bugs are known to be hitchhikers and can be brought into any environment. Please monitor your child's belongings and beddings at home for any signs of bed bugs, small reddish-brown insects, small blood stains, or tiny dark spots and fecal matter. If you have any concerns or believe you may have found evidence of bed bugs at your home, we recommend contacting a pest control professional immediately. We will keep you informed of any further developments regarding the professional treatment and inspection process. Now, a short article from Ford County Circuit Clerk Casey Schwartz. Pretrial Fairness Act means jury trial calendar changes in Ford County. Due to the changes which occurred when the Pretrial Fairness Act became law in Illinois, it has become apparent changes need to be made to Ford County's jury calendar. What this means, basically, is that people who are awaiting trial, in custody, and denied release have a time limit of 90 days to have a trial. The county has had a couple of issues with this timeline, and how it lines up with the current jury calendar. The current jury calendar is set for the previous standard of having a trial within 120 days. Instead of trying to call a special jury setting when needed, the Circuit Court of Ford County has decided to change the current quarterly jury calendar into an every other month jury calendar. This change in the number of days set aside to hold jury trials, if needed, will greatly help relieve the burden of the court system when trying to arrange special jury dates to accommodate the 90-day deadline. How this affects the average Ford County resident remains to be seen. Every person in Ford County has the right to have a jury trial with a jury made up of their peers. Ford County is a smaller county, and therefore the jury pool is smaller than some larger counties in the state. The Circuit Clerk's Office has been trying to set a one-year limit for the times called to jury service. However, it is important to know the Circuit Clerk's Office does not pull the names for a jury. Those names are given to our office from the State of Illinois database. The court will now have jury dates set in January, March, May, July, September, and November. The Circuit Court of Ford County deeply appreciates the commitment of those selected for a jury term and does not take lightly the inconvenience this sometimes adds to those who do not need more on their plate. It is important to remember that being a juror is a legal obligation for qualified citizens, English-speaking U.S. citizens over the age of 18, which ensures fair trials. No one except the judge can excuse someone from jury duty. Thank you again from the Circuit Court of Ford County for your dedication to our court system. If you have any questions regarding jury duty, please call the Ford County Circuit Clerk's Office at 217-379-9420. Turning a couple of pages, we come to a section called A Person to Know. Headlines: She's a Very Rare Person, Leslie Ingold. Leslie Ingold heads From Me to You meal program at the First United Methodist Church. She heads the From Me to You meal program, serves as parish nurse, helped to organize a Medicare information session, all at Paxton's First United Methodist Church, and helps to care for her family's medical needs while working full-time as a registered nurse for OSF Healthcare. Leslie Ingold appears to have more energy than she knows what to do with and uses it to help others. Fellow Paxton resident Pat Deheer called Ingold an angel in disguise. She's a very rare person, Deheer said. She always helps people, gives of her time. She also does demonstrations on culinary seasonings. She's a wonderful person, inside and out. The church's year-old From Me to You program provides meals to individuals who have difficulty getting out of their homes. The program is not just for senior citizens. It's for anybody, Ingold said. While most are seniors, people who have recently gone through surgery or had a baby are also often beneficiaries of the meal program. Those receiving meals also get devotional booklets, pictures drawn by children of the church, and Bible verses. The program helps to fill in the gap for those who rely on the piecemeal program, which provides meals only on weekdays. The church's meal program is generally held every other weekend. We deliver 3 full meals, Ingold said. Members of the church donate desserts. We put little goodies in there. Around Halloween, we put a little trick-or-treat candies in there. We try to go with the holidays or the season. Around Thanksgiving or Christmas, we go with turkey or ham. The volunteers are so resourceful that they've prepared the same meal only once because they receive so many compliments on it. A chef's salad, which Ingold called beautiful. Everybody said, "We love that salad," Ingold said. The meal makers take menu requests. One favorite item is a ham loaf which was popular at the church's holiday fair, which is no longer held. To make that, Ingold dragged out an old Methodist church cookbook and consulted with her grandmother, Carol, and Tim Glazik when he worked at the Paxton IGA. The meal program has plenty of volunteer culinarians, a group that generally includes Ingold's daughter, Lindsay Mall, Joy Carlson, Kathy Goodson, Kara Fitton, Carla Akins, Rachelle Hudson, Darla Schall, and the Reverend Pat Allen. Delivering the meals are Mike Jones, Janie Ozier, LaVon Smith, Jim Sherrill, and Kim Evans. There are a number who do desserts, too many to name, Ingold said. We also invite some of the kids to come and help. In the past year, 474 people have been served. A total of 1,400 meals have been delivered. It's a squeal of a deal for the recipients. The church funds the entire program. The church, being tax exempt, also helps keep the food costs low. All of the money has been a donation from parishioners of the church, Ingold said. We don't ask for money from meal recipients, but they're welcome to donate whatever they want to. Ingold keeps expenses low. It costs $3.71 per meal. By being a smart shopper, she watches for sales at Paxton's Kirby Foods on items ranging from lasagna noodles to cheese to hamburger. I try to have a good stocked pantry at the church and try to figure out what's in there and what they can use. Pat DeHere and husband Henry both agree the food is good. Ingold's volunteer involvement at the church focuses on more than just the food program. She's also interested in parishioners' entire well-being. I tend to be the person church members come to for medical advice, Ingold said. People who have had surgery, I stop by and ask how they're doing. One day before and after church recently, Andy Hudson of Hudson Drug and Hallmark Shop in Paxton and Ingold gave flu shots, and she did blood pressure checks. She also helps individuals who want to use the church's elevator, which can be confusing to use. Ingold, the Ingold name, is well known in Paxton. Leslie's grandfather, Harold Ingold, owned and operated the John Deere dealership that was appropriately located on Paxton's Green Street. Her father, Bill, who followed in his dad's footsteps in the implement business, is one of Paxton's longest tenured mayors, and before that, served on the city council. Like his father, he was a member of the former Paxton Community Hospital Board of Directors. Leslie Ingold is in her 30th year with OSF and its predecessors, Covenant, Provena, and Presence Health, and will begin a new role as the Medical Center's new stroke program coordinator, responsible for making sure OSF's 16 hospitals, ranging from Alton to Escanaba, Michigan, meet American Heart Association and American Stroke Association guidelines for stroke certification program. All the members of Ingold's family have their specialties caring for their family's needs, including health concerns. One of Leslie Ingold's hobbies, notably, is food, and that includes not just cooking, but growing. "I like to garden in the summer," she said. "We started a garden share program at church. People have to be careful because zucchinis will show up on your front porch." Ingold also enjoys cookbooks, noting that the only thing preventing her from getting more is a lack of space at home. "I get more and more when I go to my grandma Carol's. I even have one, Better Homes and Gardens cookbook, that was my great-grandmother's. It has her handwriting in it." And we have a number of short items here. From downtown Gibson City, Pioletti's Tasting Room to shut doors at end of year. Gibson City. Pioletti's Tasting Room in downtown Gibson City is closing its door, although the catering side of the business owned by Nicole Pioletti Miller will continue. The storefront at 310 North Sangamon Avenue is expected to be sold to an undisclosed buyer who plans to turn it into an office building after the December 31st closure, she said. We have been presented with an offer to purchase the tasting room and have decided not to continue operations at our shop in downtown Gibson City after this month, said an announcement posted Thursday on Pioletti's Tasting Room Facebook page. Our primary focus has always been catering, and as a result, it no longer makes sense to have the overhead of a downtown storefront as an ever-increasing expense. Pioletti's will continue catering through the use of a rental kitchen and plans to offer group meal prep events again in the near future. If you have Pioletti's gift certificates that you do not use prior to January, you will be able to apply them to any meal prep events you sign up for. We can't thank you enough for your support over the last 5 years at this location and 15 years so far of serving our catering clients. And some court news. Petition to revoke probation filed versus teen from Kempton, Paxton. A Kempton teenager sentenced in July to probation for allegedly trying to kill her uncle by twice striking him with her vehicle is due back in Ford County Circuit Court this month for a hearing on a petition to revoke her probation. Charged in October 2024 with attempted first-degree murder, a Class X felony, 19-year-old Veronica L. Maciejewski pleaded guilty in July to a reduced charge of aggravated battery, a Class 3 felony, according to court records. In exchange for the plea, State's Attorney Andrew Killian dismissed the original charge, and Maciejewski was sentenced to 2.5 years of probation. Maciejewski appeared Monday, November 24th, for a hearing on the petition to revoke, but her attorney, Brian King, was not, prompting Judge Matt Fitton to push back the hearing to 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, December 16th. The petition was filed on September 2nd. From the county, several fire departments respond to Gifford House Fire. Gifford, a two-story home in Gifford, is a total loss after a fire on Saturday. Gifford Fire Chief Brody Crozier said firefighters responded to a home on Champaign County Road 3500 after reports of smoke coming from the roof. While the Gifford Fire Protection District was on its way to the scene, the fire was upgraded, and firefighters from Rantoul, Ludlow, and Bluegrass, along with paramedics from Arrow Ambulance, were called to assist. Once the crews arrived, they noticed a large amount of smoke coming from the home. At that time, officials requested additional help from Paxton and Thomasboro firefighters. Crews from the St. Joseph Stanton Fire Protection District were requested to stand by at the Gifford Fire Station. We attempted to extinguish the fire, but due to the conditions of the home, it was decided not to risk injury and let the house burn, Crozier said. Crozier added that no injuries were reported. Now, the Champaign County's Sheriff's Office SIF team is investigating how the fire started, but Crozier said it does not appear to be suspicious. And then, from Iroquois County, 17-year-old last seen in Gilman. The public is being asked to help find a missing 17-year-old boy who was last seen in Gilman in Iroquois County. Aiden Ray Boyer, using the name Oliver Ray, was last seen at 2:54 p.m. Friday, December 5th at the Pilot gas station in Gilman and was thought to be heading south on Interstate 57. The 5-foot, 10-inch, 120-pound Boyer with blonde hair and hazel eyes was seen wearing a hat and snow pants and carrying a green military backpack. His vehicle, a bright blue 2014 Mitsubishi Outlander Sport with a Darth Vader sticker on its rear windshield, was located in Vienna, Illinois. Anyone who has information about his whereabouts was asked to contact the Ford County Sheriff's Office at 217-379-2324, and his family can be contacted at 815-409-5433. 39. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 10th. Marvin R. Behrens, Clifton. Marvin R. Behrens, 82, of Clifton, died Sunday, November 30th at Prime Healthcare St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee. Funeral Mass was held Friday, December 5th at the St. Peter Catholic Church in Clifton, with Father Doug Hauber officiating. Burial followed in the St. Peter's Catholic Cemetery in Clifton. Memorials may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Nancy E. Benison, Rantoul. Nancy E. Benison, 64, of Rantoul, died Monday, December 1st at her home. Visitation will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Friday, December 19th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. A celebration of life service will follow at 4 p.m. at the funeral home. Immediately following the celebration of life, there will be a reception at the fire station in Gibson City. Burial will be held at a later date at the Riverside Cemetery in Saybrook. Memorial contributions may be made to the Rantoul Community Center Food Bank. Richard I. Castile, Mahomet. Richard I. Castile, 75, of Mahomet, father of a Paxton resident, died Tuesday, December 2nd, at his home. Funeral services were held Friday, December 12th at 11 a.m. at the Joins Funeral Home in Newman. Burial will be in the Fairfield Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Shiloh Methodist Church, the Newman Methodist Church, or the American Legion Post number 201 in Newman. Linda S. Donberger, Tolono. Linda Sue Jensen Donberger, 77, a native of Gibson City, died Wednesday, December 3rd. A celebration of life will be from 10 a.m. to noon, Saturday, December 20th, at the Masonic Lodge in Tolono. Memorials may be made to the American Cancer Society. Carol M. Keitzman, in Gibson City. Carol Marie Keitzman, 81, of Gibson City, died Saturday, December 6th, surrounded by her family. Funeral services were held on Thursday, December 11th, at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City. Burial followed at the Drummer Township Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to Shriners Hospitals for Children. Alice E. Nelson, Paxton. Alice E. Nelson, 94, a resident of Elliott since 1987, formerly of rural Paxton, died at 7:50 p.m. Tuesday, December 2nd, at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton on Pells. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, December 13th at Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton, with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial will follow in Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, December 12th, and from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, December 13th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley or an organization of the donor's choice. Wilma D. Peacher, Gibson City. Wilma Darlene Peacher, 83, of Gibson City, formerly of Watsika, died Tuesday, December 2nd at Gibson Area Hospital in Gibson City. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Friday, December 12th at the Rosenbaum Funeral Home in Gibson City, followed by burial at 2 p.m. at the Oak Hill Cemetery in Watsika. Contributions may be made to her family. Pamela May Weber, Buckley. Tomala May Weber, 86, of Buckley, died at 10:50 p.m. Sunday, December 7th, at Country Healthcare of Gifford. Funeral services were held Friday, December 12th, at the St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley, with the Reverend J. Kevin Wyckoff officiating. Burial followed at the St. John's Cemetery in Buckley. Memorials may be made to St. John's Lutheran Church in Buckley. We turn back to the news. On the front page, an article entitled, A Venerable Vehicle, Royce Bayer's 1941 Packard 160. The car was originally owned by Jean Gordon, niece by marriage of World War II General George Patton. The long black 1941 Packard 160 two-door convertible slipped into a parking space in front of Paxton State Street Mall. It was a typical late fall day, partly cloudy, chill in the air, a couple of weeks before the Arctic blast that would hit the area. The owner of the car, Royce Bayer, was on a mission to help a longtime resident reminisce about a departed family member who had owned the car and show a newspaper reporter what a mid-20th century automobile luxury was like. But first, before the ride touring Paxton Street, there was a visit to the main scoop for ice cream. During the tour, the car stuck out like a luxury liner in a canoe race, as Bayer gave Rosemary Kurtz a taste of what her uncle, Harry Carlson, drove as a chauffeur for the East Coast Upper Crust and later owned. Motorists honked and waved, and pedestrians were quick to turn around. The Packard has a history that has an indirect connection to one of World War II's most famous generals. Premier car, powered by a 356 cubic inch, 160 horsepower inline 8-cylinder engine, was something that the genteel of that day would drive, or, quite often, what their chauffeurs would drive. The car was originally owned by Jean Gordon, a niece by marriage of General George Patton. Gordon was a daughter of well-known Boston lawyer Donald Gordon. She was prominent in pre-war Boston high society, according to one biographer, and some believe the paramour of Patton. The car was later owned by financier and philanthropist Thomas Lamont, chairman of the board of the banking house of J.P. Morgan & Company. The Lamonts were friends of the Pattons. In later years, Carlson and his wife would retire to his native Paxton. Bayer inherited the love of vintage automobiles from his late father, Morris. Royce Bayer tells the story of how his father first saw Carlson and Carlson's wife, Ethel, drive up in the Packard. He and Ethel drove in from New York City, Royce Bayer remembers. Dad happened to look out. Harry and Ethel both had on these beautiful wool top coats. They were both over 6 foot. They pulled up in their 41 Packard, and Dad fell in love with all three of them. For several years, Morris Bayer tried to get Carlson to sell him the Packard. The car was not garaged and began to show its age over the years. One winter, without enough antifreeze in it, it sustained a cracked block and had to be repaired in Kankakee. After that, Carlson decided he would sell it to Morris Bayer. Royce Bayer offered Kurtz a chance to ride in the Packard because of its family history. He didn't have to ask her twice. She remembers her uncle fondly, but it was a long time ago. Kurtz thoroughly enjoyed riding in the car and was glad that Royce Bayer made the offer. "It was quite a treat for me," she said. "As a kid, I was fascinated by it. How many years has it been since you had to get up on a running board to get in a car?" Kurtz also enjoyed people's reactions as Bayer drove around Paxton. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.